Lord, we come before your presence, Lord. We approach your holiness, Lord. Your power, your majesty. You are greater than we can ever imagine, Lord. You are majestic, Lord. Sovereign over the earth in every area, Lord, that we could imagine. And you work, Lord, all things in a greater way that we can ask, imagine, or even pray for, Lord. You're always working ahead of us, Lord. And at any given time, Lord, you are always doing something, Lord. May it be that we surrender everything in our lives and move in the direction that you are working, Lord. We're not trying, Lord, to come up with something new. We're not trying, Lord, to initiate something. We're trying to discern your leading, Lord, your guidance. What are you doing in our midst, Lord? So that we may follow. Open our minds and hearts to you continually, Lord. We know there is unrest in the world. There is unrest in the church. There is unrest in our hearts and minds in many ways. And it's not different for this congregation, Lord. We've got our share of difficulties that we're facing, Lord, and challenges. And yes, Lord, you have a plan for us. So open our minds and hearts to you this morning, as you have through this time of worship, Lord. Open our minds through the Word of God, through your Word, so that we may surrender everything, Lord, and walk according to your purpose. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your guidance on us, for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And even from this moment on, Lord, as Moses said one day, if your presence is not with us, Lord, if your presence is not going before us, Lord, do not move us from this place, Lord. We need your power established in our midst today. In your mighty name we pray these things, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we continue in the flow of worship and reverence and learning from the Word of God. Amen. I want to invite you to Mark chapter 12, verse 18. Mark chapter 12, verse 18. And I'm praying and trusting in God that as we go into this passage, you know, God will speak. He knows the hearts. He knows the struggles. He knows the challenges that we're facing. He knows our fears. He knows our needs, even when we don't even know them. He knows everything. Amen. The God of all power, the God of all wisdom is here with us. And as we look at this passage, you know, we look at a group of guys, the Sadducees, who are blind. They are completely blind to Jesus Christ and what's going on in front of their eyes. And there is a veil often that block us from seeing the glory of God if we're not walking in God's will, if we're not discerning God's way. And that's my prayer, that this morning God will just tear the veil completely out of our faces and that He will allow us to see clearly ahead of us. How many of you have challenges in your lives today? You know, we all have challenges. Amen. And as we look at the world, the landscape around us, let us remember that God is the one who rips the veil apart and gives us the ability to see beyond the things that are just in front of us. These guys are trying to trap Jesus. They have no idea they are the ones that are trapped in religiousness, in political correctness, in their flesh, worldly ideas, you know, what their eyes see, because they don't have spiritual eyes. And it says in verse 18 that they came to him. And they are the ones who say that there is no resurrection. I mean, can you believe this? They have no... I mean, they are the priests. They control the temple and they don't believe in eternity. They don't believe in life after dying. And it says, they asked him a question saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. And there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring. And the second took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. And the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died." So they come to Christ. They don't believe in resurrection. That's already the landscape in their heart, in their mind. And they ask him a question, trying to trap him. And then they give him this story. A story of a woman who had seven husbands. All of them were brothers. According to the law, if one of the brothers, one of the men died without offspring, the following brother should raise an offspring for that name. Well, it happened to be that in this story, the seven of them didn't raise offspring. So they use the story. And actually, the story is not... They want to know about resurrection, what Jesus thinks of resurrection. So they ask the question in verse 23. In the resurrection, which we don't believe exists, when they rise again, whose wife shall she be? For the seven had her as wife. And right away, Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." This is the heart of the problem. In fact, the message today is the heart of the matter. This is the reason you are wrong. You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him saying, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but God of the living." You are quite wrong. Your approach is completely heartless in this situation. You have no idea what you're talking about. And they're testing him. They have a doctrinal view already. They give this story. And then Jesus goes to the heart of the matter and says, "You are wrong. And why are you wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures, the Bible, the Old Testament that you have. You have no understanding of it. You have no faith in it. You haven't been changed by it. You don't apply it in your lives. And you don't know the Spirit of God working in your life because you don't have the scriptures." So he answers the question and he says, first of all, there is no marriage in heaven. In heaven, we are like angels. Some people still actually get confused with this passage, depending on their marriage. Okay, if they have a good marriage, they say, "Oh, really? We want to be married." If they have a bad marriage, they think, "Okay, that's good." Okay, there is no marriage in heaven. There is no marriage in heaven. It would be like angels. There is no intimacy. And the fleshly man and carnal man, all he thinks is about that, you know. So when that's why they live, what they live for, and they think about heaven, they think, "Oh, okay, I don't even want to go to heaven anymore like this." If there's no marriage in heaven, no intimacy in heaven. Because there is hardness of heart in how we approach things. We don't understand heaven. We don't understand God. We don't understand eternity. So therefore, we don't understand marriage or the need for intimacy in heaven. We're not going to go to that much, but when Jesus talks about this, he says, "Have you not read in the book of Moses?" He says, "The Bible states the truth about this matter. You have it in front of your eyes. In the passage about the bush in Exodus, how God spoke to Moses saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and he's not the God of the dead, but the God of living.'" And you know what? By that phrase right there, Jesus is saying, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are alive. Amen. Are they alive? Alive? Yes, they are alive. God is the God of the living. So let me just tell you 5-6 things about this that we learned on what's going on in the heart of these men. They were ignorant of the truth. The real matter, the real issue, they are completely ignorant. There is a veil in their face. They don't see. I mean, they don't see Jesus for that matter. They don't even know who this man is. But they don't see the truth in the Word. They don't see God in their lives. They don't see the Lord in creation, in the universe. They don't see the majesty of God. Not only that, they don't understand the truth. They're ignorant of it, and so they don't understand it. It's not kicking in their hearts. There is no comprehension of the Word of God in their hearts. And they don't believe the Word of God. Number three. And then also they can't obey the Word of God. There's no submission, repentance, conversion. There's no humbling before the presence of the Lord. And then number five, they have no power of God. Because of these things, the ignorance, the lack of understanding, and the lack of faith, and the lack of obedience, we see the evidence. There is no power of God working in their hearts and in their minds. And therefore, there will be no transformation. Neither in this world or in the world to come for them. Because they are completely lost. And we look at this group of guys and it is very, very sad. And we've been there, right? We've been there where we approach the Word of God and we don't know what it means. We ignore the Word of God. We say, Lord, what does this mean for me? What do you want in my life, in my heart, when I look at this passage? So, let's look at the heart of the matter is that they have a lack of understanding. We're going to focus on one, two verses here, verse 24 and 25. And looking in that verse, Jesus says to them, is this not the reason or the problem that you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Really what that means is when you read, you know neither the scriptures. What it means is you do not see. Is the verb see or perceive or discern. Seeing that becomes knowing. Being able to look at something and understand the real nature of things. Understanding the real basic teaching that changes our view and everything that we do. When you approach anything, you need insight, wisdom, so that you understand the real nature of things, right? Because you may see something and you think this is what it is. But it's like an engine, like a motor. You open it up and you try to find out, oh, okay, there is a noise going on in this motor. I need to find out what's wrong. It's broken, okay? The air handler this morning under the sanctuary that blows air into this facility is not working. So we had to open it up yesterday and find out, is it the motor? Is it the breaker? Is it the cable? Is it, what is it, okay? To be able to see in order to know. And in order to understand, that's what Jesus is saying. You are wrong because you don't see, you don't discern. What? The scriptures. You look at the scriptures and they are just ideas. Moral narrative. Stories. Sometimes that's the approach of people to the Bible. So the Sadducees had an ignorant approach to the scriptures. And they had a wrong view of dead people or believers. And they had a wrong view of heaven, for they ignored the scriptures completely. They had them, but ignored them. They read them, but it was pointless for them. They pretend to follow them, but what were they following? If they didn't believe in them, they didn't obey Him. And in fact, they ignored them because they didn't trust in what they were reading continually. Look at the verse in Exodus 3:6 that Jesus is pointing to in the bush when Moses saw the Lord in the bush. God said to Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look of God. Let me tell you something with all honesty here when I look at this verse. Jesus uses this verse to tell us in Mark that God is the God of the living. Right? I look at the verse throughout the week and I thought, Lord, I wonder how many things I miss in the Bible. Are you with me this morning? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because I look at the, let me look at the verse again. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's it. So therefore, God is the God of the living, Jesus says. So God says, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob live. Right? Are we there? I mean, 270 years after Jacob probably died, at least, and then Isaac, maybe 400 for Abraham, close to 400, whatever that was. God is talking to Moses and saying, I am their God. They're alive. This requires insight, biblical insight. There was a lack of understanding in these men. They knew the verse, but they ignored the significance of it. So Jesus is using this verse to prove that there is resurrection and obviously that God is the God of the living. Now, the Sadducees, not only ignore the verse, the meaning of it, but they ignore the authority of it, the authority of the Scriptures. This word, let me remind you, this is the blueprint of God in everything that we are seeing in front of us. Right?
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, whether it is war in Europe today between Russia and Ukraine, whether it is all the false prophets and teachers that are rising. I mean, this is actually, in the last 3 years, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there is a multiplication, proliferation of false teachers rising up on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and all over the spectrum trying to tell us what's going on. Have you noticed that? And what I think is men and women with no biblical knowledge or platform are kind of giving all kinds of ideas. I mean, everybody is doing whatever they want. Just like the times of the judges again. And everybody's going in their own direction. Everybody's right because everybody thinks they have a word of God. Okay? This is actually the word of God. And this is the blueprint. And yes, we need to understand not everything is revealed to us. God is going to be revealing to us what we need to know. Amen? And we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, give me an understanding of what's going on around me. Not only in regard to world events, but also, I mean, look at the problem in America, politics. Look at the economy. Look at the sexual identity crisis that is just rampant in our society here in Grand County. Look at the level and the rate of suicide going on around us. All the things that are going on, we need to say, Lord, what is going on? We need to pray. We need to seek the God of the Scriptures and say, Lord, we need understanding. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, when Peter is talking about the Word of God. He says, we have the prophetic Word more fully confirmed, to which we will do well to pay attention. Let's pay attention. But let's approach the Word of God in the way God wants us to approach His Word so that we may understand what is in it. You do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Darkness seems to be thickening, right? And growing. Let's look at the Word of God. Let's keep our eyes on His Word. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing that these first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone else's interpretation. So God gave it to us. We need to interpret it in the way that God wants us to interpret it so that we say, Lord, this is what's going on around us. And very often, you know, we need to know, Lord, what is your word telling me? And this is the faithfulness of God, you know. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, the day that I'm living on, the situation that I have in front of me. I believe that when I open the Word of God, I find insight into my daily life. I believe that. I do believe it. God is so faithful. I may be in Genesis, I may be in Revelation, I may be in Leviticus, like this morning in my life, and I'm like, Lord, what do you have for me right here? The character of God is there, my character is there, my problem is there, and the solution of God for my life is right there in the Scriptures in Leviticus. Amen? And it points me to Jesus all the time. That's what I want to see in the Scriptures. Now, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. His Word is always living and always directing us if we have the right understanding of the Word of God. So the Sadducees, and this is, they had a pragmatic, worldly view of the Scriptures. That's what's going on. And yes, it seems like a positive thing, but let me tell you something. There are so many ways to approach the Bible. Sometimes it's religiously. Right? You know it, you obey it, therefore you expect everything to go well for you and you're going to be fine, okay? And there's nothing you can do about anything else. Religiously, politically. I mean, you have the Christian liberals, yeah? And then you have the conservative political people, but liberal in their Christianity, in their theology. You have to be learning now names and ideas, right? And bases and foundations of people. The bottom line is, when we look at the Word of God, this is what the Sadducees had. They had a worldly, pragmatic view of the Scriptures. You know, to talk about heaven, I don't think makes any sense, because how does that benefit us in the temple here? You know, there are churches today that don't want to focus on Revelation because they say it's confusing. It doesn't work. I mean, why do we want to go there where it's kind of scary? I listened to a guy actually in Denver in the Christian station. He said, I grew up scared in the church because they preach from the book of Revelation every week. And he said, I'm not going to do this in our church. I don't even understand the book of Revelation. I don't want to scare people, you know. I'm going to focus on what is understandable in the Bible. It's, pragmatically speaking, it's not working for them to speak about heaven and hell. It's not working for them to look at things that are difficult for them to interpret or explain. And these guys, the Sadducees, they didn't want to... I mean, I don't know how they were living. They were logical, they were practical, but they were worldly. There is an intellectual way to see the Scriptures too. It's simply naturalistic in the way they do it. Now, in Philippians 3:18, the Bible says, many of whom I have often told you, and now I tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their focus is the things of this world. They don't want to talk about dying to self. They don't want to talk about surrendering everything in the cross. The apostles didn't want the cross of Christ to be a reality. Why would you have to die, Lord? Why would you have to go and be crucified? We don't like that idea, okay? You become the king of Israel and you save us and rescue us. We don't want you dying and suffering. That's one pragmatic view of the Scriptures. And name it and claim it. God wants to bless you and give you everything that you need. How many of you know that sometimes you follow Christ and the only thing you face is trouble in front of you? And you say, Lord, why? Before I came to church, before I was following you, everything was fine. Well, now you have an attack of the enemy on your life. Now you're going against the current. Now your life is meaningless. I mean, meaningful. Excuse me, for the first time in the direction that God has for you. So you are going to encounter opposition. And these guys, their end was destruction. Their God was their belly. Their glory was their shame. And their mind was set on earthly things. They had a selfish approach of the Bible and everything they were reading. So we need to have a godly view, a godly approach, and a godly application of the Scriptures in our lives. Lord, what is it that you have for me? It's not what I want to find in the Scripture. How do I approach your word? And Lord, allow me to apply this. Paul tells Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learn it. God is the one who's teaching it. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able, the writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This will not save us. Amen? The knowledge of this will not save us. It is faith in Jesus Christ that saves us. But yet, the Bible makes us wise for that salvation, to understand salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible points to Jesus continually. It points to our character and everything else. Now, I look at this and how often we approach the Bible and we say, Lord, I need insight here. I mean, sometimes I catch myself trying to go through the Bible. Do you do that? I got to go through the Bible, okay. I got to go through the Old Testament here. My mind is somewhere else, you know, 100 miles away or days away or in the past. I don't need to go through the Bible. The Bible needs to go through me. Amen. The Word of God needs to come and impact and challenge me, whether it's a line or a verse in the Bible. How beautiful when you actually get stuck in one verse right there because it's actually ministering to you. The Holy Spirit is bringing conviction in your heart of what you're reading, and you're actually being established and rooted in the truth of God in a powerful way. But how sad it is that you read Scriptures over and over and over and you never really... And yes, the Word of God is actively working in us. Sometimes we read things that we never understood before, and praise God for that. But how sad it is when we have been going through a passage that meant to change us, to affect the way we do things, and we just have to understand the passage because we're not open to it. And we're not open because we're not submissive, we're not repentive, we're not trusting in the Lord. Look at the story here of the apostles when Jesus resurrected, and they were actually very frightened, the Bible says, and they were scared, hiding. In verse 36 of Luke 24, it says they were talking about these things, about the appearances of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. peace to you. You need this peace right now. It's like you are so scared, so worried, so challenged by what's going on. Peace to you. I mean, Christ comes to speak in life. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? He's calming them down in a way. He's bringing them to understand, it's me. In a very simple way. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. I'm not a spirit. I'm back. I'm alive. There is a purpose and a plan. Open your eyes. And he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in Psalms must be fulfilled. What is going on through this week, through this challenging time that you are facing, is the will of the Lord, the purpose of God already written, but you're struggling to understand it. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. How do we do that? How do we get there, Lord? We need our minds open. Amen? To understand the Word of God. Every day, as we sit in church, as we go to Bible study, as we have our quiet times or our study times in our home, whatever we do, you know, just let the Word of God change and transform your life. The natural person in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. In an intellectual, religious, political view, we can't really see the thing of God. Yes, we have all kinds of opinions and arguments. And there may be some truth in the things that we argue. But unless we see the heart of the matter, the heart of the problem, we're not going to be able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Lord, give us that insight. The lack of understanding is evident very often when we look at marriage, for instance. When we don't understand the purpose of Scripture in marriage. All right, marriage. You know, I've been lonely for a while. I need somebody to share my bills with, okay? I need somebody to make me company. I need to have intimacy. Everything is going to be fine once I get married. How many of you know that may not be the truth? You know that? You get married and actually the stretching has just begun. Be careful what you do, okay, and say here this morning. No, I'm just kidding. The stretching just began sometimes. The maturing part of your life is actually going to be challenged in a way that's never been challenged before. I mean, we need to have the right understanding of angels. Angels are spoken of right here. What are angels? What is the purpose of angels in God's kingdom? This chubby little thing with little wings flying around the room? You know? No, that's not angels. They have a mission. They have a purpose. Okay? Sometimes they are in the room with us. Sometimes they are helping us and ministering as they were Elijah or Jesus Christ. Lord, wow! And sometimes without even knowing, angels come before our presence. The Bible says that. Amen? There is so much ignorance sometimes in the Bible about the things of God. I mean, you look at the purpose of money, you know. Oh, if I get enough money, if I just have enough security and I can get everything I need to. You will never get everything you need to if you are a Christian. Okay, God actually will make sure that you have needs in your life for a reason. So that you learn to depend on Him. Okay, and money is not the solution. It's actually a problem, especially if you fall in love with it. And maybe you have money for a different reason, for a purpose that you need to understand. Lord, what does this mean? You know? I mean, honestly, when you get something extra in your life that you weren't planning on in your budget, do you stop and you say, Lord, is there a reason for me to get this extra $300? What am I supposed to do with it, Lord? That is what understanding of the things of God is. Because if we ignore God's scriptures, we will ignore God's ways. And therefore, God's transforming power. If we ignore the scripture of God, we would ignore the ways of God, and therefore we will not be changed and transformed as these men, the Sadducees. They had a lack of understanding, that was the heart of the matter, and they had a lack of faith as well. Look in verse 24 again of Mark 12. Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason, the problem, the heart of the matter? You are wrong, because you know, or you see not, or you discern not, neither the scriptures nor the power of God." It's amazing how not knowing the scriptures, or knowing them just in a superficial way because they didn't believe in them, and that's the problem. They didn't believe in Christ. They didn't believe in the Word. Shows that actually they were lacking the power and the transforming guidance of the Lord. They lacked faith in God's promises. They read them, but they meant nothing for them. How important is faith for us? And we may be coming here in a time when actually what we need to realize is that God may want us to trust Him more in what's going on in the world. Okay? And I mean, in the crisis, the challenges that I have in my life right now, you know, as a leader, as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a mentor of others, everything is leading me to depend on God, to trust Him, to believe that, yes, this is very challenging, but there is a purpose of God in this. And I need to understand what is going on, and I need to say, "Lord, You will work through this for good in my life." Amen? Amen. It's going to take a lot of surrendering. It's going to take a lot of praying. Maybe it's going to take a lot of humbling in my part. It's going to take conviction. It's going to take people praying for me, as many are right now, for the church and the leadership. But let me tell you something. Faith is necessary. It's important as we approach the throne of God. Amen? Amen. It is impossible to please the Lord if we have no faith. Amen? It is impossible to come before God and get anything from Him. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 and 2 says that while the promise of entering His rest still stands, the writer of Hebrews is talking to these people and saying there is a promise. And it is actually available, standing. "Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." You're not getting the promise. You're not connecting the promise to your need. Why? Look at the reason. "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard didn't benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." The promise was there. The ability was there for them to receive the rest. They never got to the rest. There was no benefit on that rest for them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So God gives us ears to hear. Amen? And a heart to perceive and understand what is going on in our lives. But then, as we have ears and a heart and sensitivity and eyes, "Lord, allow us to trust in You. Allow us to grow in faith in You. Allow us to see the needs and the challenges and things that we have as a purpose in which You are leading us and growing us to a better Christian community." Amen? A better minister of God. Jesus told them in verse 25, "When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." They will rise. They will rise. There is resurrection. They didn't believe in it. Therefore, their view was a simple, naturalistic view of things. But Jesus says they will rise. And even though they had biblical evidence regarding resurrection, their unbelief stopped them from having faith in life after death. We read it in Exodus 3:6, but look in Ecclesiastes 3:11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into men's heart." There is eternity in your heart. And yet, you think it's just a wishful thinking or an emotion. You are eternal. You are eternal. And you believe actually, Sadducees, that the day you die and all these sacrificial things that are going on and you're in charge of the temple, all this is in vain? What is it? Just for you to get some power and money and to maintain the economy of the religious people? That was their view. Job in chapter 19 verse 25 says, "I know that my Redeemer lives and at last He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I will see the Lord. God is real. And I will be resurrected one day and see everything as it is. I don't understand it right now in the midst of my pain. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till the time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. Daniel had prophesied about eternity and they didn't believe it. Now, where is our faith this morning? Do we believe in God? Do we believe in the Word of God? Are we going to it for direction? Our faith in God leads us to believe in that power, that reality of God and His promises. I look at the situations and, you know, this is what the crisis are allowing me to do. To bow down before the presence of God and say, Lord, the Word is real. Your Spirit is real. And I need you in my life right now, Lord. I need you. In the midst of everything that is going on, praise God for His blessings. Praise God for the fellowship, for the gathering. Praise God for everything that is going on. But Lord, I don't want to miss your call in the midst of all these things that I'm facing in my life. And that's where you need to be. In Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. God is big and powerful. And He challenges them by saying to them, what is the place that you will, or the house that you will build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things come to be. I'm the owner of everything, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I will look. And He says, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. God listens. God works. God establishes His will and His purpose in our lives when we come before the presence of God with a contrite spirit and with a humble heart right there. That's what was lacking in the heart of the Sadducees. No humility. No transforming power because no humility. And no faith. No conversion. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. To some? No. To everyone who believes. Everyone who trusts in God. Everyone who depends on God will experience the power of God in their lives. If they're trusting in the Word of God and in the message of God. So, there was not only a lack of understanding, a lack of faith, there was a lack of transformation in these men because they didn't have that faith. And I want to, this morning, I want to invite you to actually look at this in a way that we approach the throne of God and we say, Lord, what are you doing? As Hal was saying on Thursday, we had a time of prayer here that was just powerful. I mean, the best so far. And I think it's just, at times like Thursday, we pray and say, Lord, what are you trying to do? We've got so much knowledge, amen, and understanding in some ways of the Bible, but we haven't actually received that power of God in many ways. And I can't tell you everything that we're facing and going through, but let me tell you, there is a lot of need in our community right now. A lot of need in the school, in society here in Grand County, in the families of the church, there is a lot of need. There is a lot of unrest in the identity of youth that is taking place right now. The enemy is snatching their minds, their hearts, and actually making them believe whatever the world is saying. Whether it is because of the proliferation of media and how Satan is using the language to confuse, We need to realize that we are in God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is not about food or drink, about the things of this world. God's kingdom is about the power of God being established. Amen. And as Paul was saying, a church that is in their knees is stronger than an army on their feet. How many of you believe that in your life? Just think about that for a moment. And I was challenged by this verse. I got a couple of verses here, and I was challenged by them. One of them is in Isaiah 59:1, and look what it says: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened." God is still at work. It's not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear. God listens to us. He is the God of miracles. He is actually actively bringing us to understand and to look at the things of heaven. And there are times when we look at what's going on around us and we wonder, Lord, what do we do? And I want to invite you this morning to pray. I want to invite you to just seek the face of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible is very clear. And you may not have it in your notes, but that's okay. But you know the verse by memory almost. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves. We don't understand God's ways just in our own, as we saw this morning. It takes the power of God, the opening of eyes and hearts and minds from God in our lives in order for this to be a reality. So we need to humble ourselves before God and pray and seek His face. That's what Chronicles says. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, there is a conversion, there is a turning to God. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. How many of you believe that? Healing, transforming healing needs to start in the heart and in the minds of Christians first. And sometimes, you know, it's the insight that we didn't have. Sometimes it's the tearing apart of the veil that is actually covering. Sometimes it's the conviction that is going to allow us to see, hey, there is sin in my life. I need to change. There is lack of faith in my life. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And actually, I'm going to ask us to pray this morning for a few minutes. And how does this look like in your life? I don't know. I don't know. I want you to just, whether you want to come here. And let me tell you, I saw us on Monday. I saw us coming to this place in prayer. I don't know why. I don't know why. I saw us praying. Whether it's because of war in Ukraine or because of war in the body here, I saw us coming to prayer. Let's pray. Let's seek the face of the Lord this morning. So if you want to come and just bow your head here on the altar, on the stage. We don't do these very often, but I want to challenge you. Let's unite ourselves and say, Lord, we know what the Scripture says. Make it a reality in our lives. Amen? Let's do it. I'm going to just give you a moment. I'm going to ask you to, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, I want to ask you to just surrender yourself to the Lord and start praying. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we need Your transforming power, Lord. That is the goal. A power that is changing our hearts, our minds, our marriages, our churches, our communities, our societies. The identity of people, Lord, will be transformed and changed to You, Lord. There is so often, Lord, so much going on in front of us. We come to church, Lord, and we expect to be transformed and changed by what we listen or we do in 30, 40 minutes an hour, Lord. And we understand that's not the way, Lord. Sometimes the transforming power in our lives will actually start and take days and months and even years, Lord, for it to be a reality. And yet, Lord, at the same time, we believe that as we come to this place, Lord, and bow our heads to You, Lord, and as we humble ourselves before Your presence and acknowledge Your power, acknowledge Your will, Lord, and acknowledge Your word, Lord, and ask for wisdom and grace that Your favor is actually established in our lives. Your hand is not shortened, Lord. You still save and transform and break people and hearts and minds. You are not dull to hear, Lord, but actually You listen to our prayer, Lord. And You are the God of miracles who is actually uniting Your people, and Your remnant is actually growing in insight and wisdom and understanding, Lord, for the things of Your kingdom, Lord. Allow us to see things as they are biblically, Lord. Allow us to see things as they are spiritually, Lord. Allow us to see, Lord, the presence of your Holy Spirit molding us, shaping us, pushing us, and allowing us to depend on you, Lord. Allow us to believe in miracles. Many of us, Lord, have stopped believing and trusting that you are the God of miracles that still works in our lives. Lord, there is an attack of the enemy, Lord, no doubt. But also, Lord, as we look at your word, the weapons and the arms of our warfare are not of this world, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds, Lord. Where there is disunity in the body, Lord, gossip, Lord, judgmental spirits, Lord, bitterness and lack of forgiveness, Lord, where there is misconception about what's going on in others' minds and hearts, Lord, where there is resentment, Lord, for the things that have gone in our lives, where there is the idea that we can do it, we will do it in our own strength, and the government may come and save us and rescue us, Lord. Break everything that is not of you, Lord. Any religiosity, Lord, that is coming out of our minds and ideas, Lord, when we think that because we belong to a church or denomination or a group of people, everything is going to be okay, Lord. Break the arm of flesh in our lives, Lord, and allow us to trust in you with all our strength, Lord. Allow us to be blessed by you, Lord, as we surrender everything to you. Lord, what a sad thing. This group of people, the Sadducees, Lord, they had you in front of them. They talked to you. They interacted with you. They received answers of life, Lord. And then, but they were completely hardened. They were completely lost, Lord. They were not converted. They were not changed. Whether because in your sovereign plan, Lord, it was established like that. But also, Lord, their lack of humility and transformation. Their lack of softening before your eyes, Lord, when they saw the truth, Lord. You are the way. You are the truth and you are the life, Lord. You are the one who says, come to me. If you are heavy laden and tired and broken, come to me and I will give you rest, Lord, because you are the only solution to the problems that we have in our lives. So, Lord, renew our strength, renew our vision, renew our passion for you. Give us a commitment that is sincere and genuine, Lord, and allow us to believe that you are powerfully working within us, Lord, when we come to you, Lord, and walk along your plan and your purpose in our life, in your mighty name, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for this sermon this morning, Lord, that as we face the challenges, the world, in life, Lord, in school, in our marriages, Lord, in church, in our groups, Lord, as we go back to work tomorrow, today, Lord, as we go back to this world, that we will discern with wisdom, Lord, the biggest, the greatest needs of the heart of society, Lord. That they will, Lord, in an evident way, prove to us that they need Jesus, Lord. They need you, the truth of the gospel, Lord. And allow us to have a compassion for people in the place where they are, so that we may be bold, Lord, to speak to them the truth in love. In your mighty name, Lord, we pray for these things. We pray for a revival in America. We pray for a revival in the church. But Lord, this revival needs to start in us. This revival needs to be a reality in our hearts. This revival needs to be a reality in our minds when we open your word and see the condition of our lives according to your scripture. This revival needs to start in our homes when we take decisions, Lord, and we make steps, Lord, to get closer to a holy, mighty, powerful God. Allow us to wake up, Lord, and allow us to surrender everything to you and live a godly life, Lord. For the sake of our children, the generation that is coming, Lord, that needs to see your hand and your power established in their lives. Lord, guide us, direct us in a mighty way, Lord, not only through the scriptures, Lord, but also as we worship, that the evidence of your spirit will be a reality in this room, Lord, and that as we worship your name, Lord, we would be empowered to stand firm with boldness, with hope, with direction. Oh, Father, in your mighty name, bestow your power among your people and allow us to have in an active way the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, working in us continually so that we may step forward, Lord, into the very place of darkness or the gates of hell, and just work for the areas and the things that you have called us to work in your mighty name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your spirit working in us, Lord. Bring to mind the sins, Lord, that are a stumbling block in our lives to move forward, Lord. Bring to mind in our hearts, Lord, the things that we need to rebuke, Lord, and to throw away, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus. And allow, Lord, to see ourselves as ministers of a new covenant that are being transformed with power, Lord, in your powerful way, in your powerful and mighty way, Lord. Do that in us today. Thank you, Jesus, for this time of worship. Thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, now raise us. Raise us as an army. An army that believes that in the time that we're living, it's empowered by God to do mighty wonders. Raise us, Lord, to believe that your word is still active and working in the hearts and minds of people. Raise us in the midst of a generation that is doing whatever they want, Lord, that we call evil evil and good good, that we call God holy and mighty and majestic and powerful. We want to give you glory, Lord, in every step of the way. Oh, Holy Father, show yourself to us this morning, Lord. Establish yourself in us today, Lord. Allow us to believe, Lord, with the strength of your Holy Spirit. It's not going to be because we know too much. It's not going to be because we are very smart and very valiant. No, it's going to be your power in us, Lord, working in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, we pray for the Christians in this nation, in America, but also for the Christians, Lord, in the rest of the world that are suffering and dying for you, Lord, even. Oh, Lord, give us that resilience. Give us that strength, Lord, to stop complaining, Lord, and looking for comfort, Lord. To stop the ways of the flesh and to live to give you glory, Lord, in your mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we want to worship you and we pray that in your mighty name, Jesus, you direct us through this time. We raise our voices and our hands to you, Lord, asking for the presence of your Holy Spirit to be a reality, Lord. Through this time, your mighty name, let's raise our voices and worship the Lord. Very often the battle is won when we sing and pray through the songs that we worship through. So let us do that this morning as we finish this time here.